Rolling on here on First Up, Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. And let's not delay another second. We are about 3 minutes late for our scheduled interview with our next guest. One of the preeminent broadcasters and preeminent men in our business. It is TSN's James Duthie. Hi, James.
How you doing, boys? I'm just making a smoothie. If you could hold on the line, I'll be back in about four or five minutes, okay?
Well, it's only 3 minutes. I mean, we could probably fill for a couple minutes.
I just gave you a hard time. It really wasn't that bad.
What's your dog's name again, the gray one?
That's Hugo.
Hugo. Put Hugo on the line. We'll have a conversation with him.
Bark away.
We'll throw the ball. Throw it.
You don't even know the half of what goes on in my world right now.
I can only imagine. Last week when we spoke, you mentioned how this week you're heading to Regina, Saskatchewan for the Western semifinal between the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Calgary Stampeders. So what's on the itinerary? When do you depart, and do you have any big plans in the city of Regina, the city that rhymes with fun?
I'm going out Saturday morning. I think I'll be with the coach, Jim Barker, there. People forget, or aren't CFL fans, the non-CFL fans who listen to your program might sort of jump in on CFL for the playoffs every year, which is a big kick to me. I love CFL. I got quite an array of exotic tropical locations the next month. I'm Regina for the semis, then in Winnipeg next week for the Western Final, then Hamilton for the Grey Cup, then back for a little bit and off to Edmonton for the World Juniors. So let's just say I'm packing the copper tune. You know what I'm saying?
the exact opposite.
I thought of you. This is the first time this season, I think, on Sunday morning where I will get to make a pick on air.
Wow.
Of the game. From my first CFL broadcast of the year. And so I may have to lean on the expert himself, the guru.
Interesting.
Just call him Sarge. It's a good pick. James. Like it's a great matchup, and I know you don't want to probably do an extended CFL.
I do want to do an extended.
I think it's, you know, first of all, Saskatchewan. Any game in Saskatchewan is the best place in Canada to watch a game, and Bo has sort of had their number mostly over the years. But Fajardo's been pretty good, and they've been three games this year all within 6 points. So it's gonna be fun.
That is stellar analysis. James Duthie from TSN.
That was on the surface. I'm expecting all the deep stuff from you. I didn't want to get too deep.
Okay, one tip. I've learned this from doing extensive radio interviews in Saskatchewan. That's how the locals say it. Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan? So not Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan.
Yeah. It's like Toronto. Saskatchewan. That's my advice. Okay, so that's on Sunday, and we should probably talk. I don't know if you have a direct line to CFL Commissioner Randy Ambrosi, but the game on Sunday, 1 and 4 o'clock.
Is that commonplace, or is it a direct competition with the NFL?
Is that how it is every year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, and you can argue whether that's right or not. I mean, this is an eternal problem with the Canadian Football League. Is you have its biggest weekends against critical NFL weekends, but it hasn't mattered. Like, the CFL has a really good following and does incredibly well for these games, right? We'll get, I'm in my office and my wife ordered, I don't think you'll listen to this program, so like a pair of slippers for her mom's boyfriend. And Hugo just came in and just picked up the box, which is like a giant box, and just walked out of the room with them. Sorry.
He's got a new chew toy. new sandals for...
He scooped it up by the ribbon and just walked out of the room, so I was a little bit distracted there. Anyway, it's always been that way, AK, and what are you going to do about it? I mean, you could put one of the games on in prime time, the Western game, but you have Sunday night football to deal with as well, so... Yeah, I don't think you'll ever get away from that. And the CFL does fine for the playoffs against the NFL games. It sucks for guys like you and me who love them both, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can put my NFL on hold for these couple of weeks and watch some great CFL games.
Likewise. That's on Sunday. But tomorrow, JD, it's Bryson and Brooksy.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks Koepka in the latest installment of the match. Now, you're someone who's had a lot of success in crucial golf showdowns. What advice would you give to DeChambeau and Koepka?
So this is what was the one last one that DeChambeau was in? Was that DeChambeau and Phil, right? With Brady and Aaron Rodgers? Was that
Aaron
the last
Rodgers.
Match?
Aaron Rodgers, yeah, yeah, it was Aaron Rodgers, yeah. Aaron
yeah, where they were they must have been playing like 4 miles up in the sky because the drives were all going like 400 yards yeah. or something. You know, I think this would have been a lot more hyped had it have been 6 months ago. And I think the Ryder Cup and a couple of other things just kind of put a little bit of it muted this rivalry a little bit. I think that we all kind of realize it was like I think there was real legitimate, if not hatred, legitimate dislike between these players. And maybe there still is a little bit of it, but you know, all the hugs and stuff at Ryder Cup, I think that TNT, whoever produces these things, wishes it had happened a few months ago. So I'm not nearly as excited for it as I would. I'll just say, as you know, you're right, AK. Experience is critical in these things. And so maybe that's where Bryson has the advantage, because I don't think Koepka's been in one of these, because I failed miserably in my first experience. But use that failure to not only succeed but thrive in my second.
Nice. Well, hey, what are you going to do for your third? Are me and AK going to get an invite? Well, this time?
My boy Puffy, he suggested strongly to me that I retire because I could easily go like 1-7 in these things. If we do a televised one, like I'm due to probably lose the next few after winning, because when I won this summer, and I know you listeners don't care, it was kind of a miracle that we won. So I think
well, you're
I should
be fully
probably
healthy
retire.
Now. You got the surgery, you're all fixed.
You were
up.
Compromised.
I mean, you should have an excuse not to win another one.
Well, how long can I use the hernia surgery? Can I milk that for like into next
well,
summer?
I saw that scar, right. JD. I think you're good for at least 6 months. That would be my guess.
Did you know, here I had a question for you guys, because here's what I did for the Leafs last night, and we've talked to you before about morning radio. Did you guys stay up till the end of that hockey game?
I fell asleep midway through the third.
Well, second intermission.
I mean, it was
second
over
intermission
after the
I shut
second,
down.
Right?
Yeah,
it was over after the second, because I watched the first, and then I PVR'd and watched the, well, I was intending on watching the second and the third before I came on with you guys this morning, but after the second, I pretty much said, okay, I don't think anything's going to happen in the third that I need to worry about. But that was an impressive hockey performance.
It sure was. I mean, you talk about, you know, a team that has been looking good in every type of response and any type of adversity that has been thrown at them so far. You got to feel pretty good about where the Maple Leafs are at.
Well, it's just, you know, they went through that stage where only the big four were scoring and they were still winning, so it didn't really matter, but you worried where would secondary stuff came from, and that's come in the last 2 weeks in spades. And when you see Wayne Simmonds have the kind of game he had last night, and I think, to me, probably the two guys that stood out the most were Simmonds and Rasmus Sandin. I think I don't know if he got a star, but he, to me, he was the best player on the ice in many senses. And the Engvall goal, he did so many good things on that one play, making a good defensive play at one end, leading the rush. And if you know, Simmonds did that little toe drag, but if you watch Sandin, basically, after he gives up the pass, takes the two defensemen and forces them too deep, and that's why Simmonds is able to do that toe drag, because the guy's kind of on his back feet. And so I just think this guy's emergence is, if he continues, is going to be one of the individual stories of the season for the Leafs. So that was just impressive in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it sure was, and there's a lot to like about this Maple Leafs team, especially where they're at, the way they're playing, and the way they've started this road trip, 2-0 right now. They got two more left.
He's destroyed half the box. He hasn't gotten the slippers out yet, but he has destroyed.
Okay,
you know how they do free wrapping at the malls? Do they do re-wrapping?
Yeah.
Re-wrapping available?
That's
like, if
hilarious.
You walk back into the mall with your receipt, you say, I know you did the free wrapping for me, but can you re-wrap this
re-wrap
box?
Re-wrap it, yeah, my dog got
completely destroyed.
Well, I want to ask you, I mean, it's Thanksgiving Day today. You know, people celebrate it, whether you're American or Canadian, whatever you decide to choose. But obviously the slate of football is what will keep people excited. But tomorrow is Black Friday. And, James, I'm looking for some new technology for my kids, maybe my wife. Can you help subscribe anything to me? Because you're a superstar right now with all these devices that you're promoting.
Well, yeah, of course, Carlo. You have to go to the source. I mean, look at my incredibly well-dressed family, the way we sit around the house.
I love the fake smile by you, too.
In makeup and hair gel and fancy turtlenecks. You imagine, like, I try to convince the source we should do, if you really wanted to do a realistic commercial, come over to my house, I'd be in the entire family would be in sweatpants and hoodies or pajamas.
You'd be in white socks
that are like, the white socks right now are actually over the sweatpants, like not on purpose. I just, you know, got up this morning a little tired before I called you. So like they're the white socks over the sweatpants up halfway up to the knees. Yeah, it's a look, but the source wasn't. They wanted fancy Holt Renfrew turtlenecks on me that day.
They are going to love these.
You can find whatever you need there, Carlo, at the source. Rachel will help you out.
Is the source a company owned by Bell Media or Bell as a whole? I think so, right?
No, I think it, I don't. Is it? I don't know that.
Twenty Fingers is giving us one of his twenty fingers up. So
long-time partners, I believe. Yes, it is.
Yeah,
we own part of the source.
Apparently, it is. So yeah, shout out to the source. Is. Let's build our shareholder value, JD. Let's go to the source. James Duthie from TSN and the Rubber Boots podcast is our guest. And earlier in the show, we had Mike Johnson on, Mystic Mike from TSN, one of our hockey analysts. And he told a story about
how... He doesn't know a lot. He's one of the more fraudulent guys out there.
I'm a huge Mike Johnson fan. But I am even more of a Mike Johnson fan after finding out a story that he told us in response to Mr. Koliakovo returning fan mail from when he was a St. Louis Blue this week. That's 10 years ago. 10 years ago, he's finally opening up the fan mail and sending it back. But Mike Johnson told us how he and his mom, like when he was an active player, and even to this day, still like return the fan mail. It goes up to her house. She writes a personalized letter to each fan who wrote him and ask for his autograph on a card or whatever. So I need to ask, when you get your fan mail at TSN, how promptly do you return it?
Well, first of all, it amazes me the dedication of fans, because guys like Carlo and Mike like still get them. There's little envelopes in there for Dave Poulin or Mike Johnson or Carlo or Jeff O'Neill.
O-Dog?
Every O-Dog time never I walk returns into the studio, because they deliver the mail. The fan mail into the studio, basically, and there's almost every show we come in, there's an envelope or two, handwritten, which I love. I will get one a decade.
What do they ask you to sign, James? Do you have any hot cards?
I love the little handwritten letters, though, because I did this when I was a kid.
AK did it, too. But
I never did hockey players. I don't think I ever wrote a hockey player. I wrote NFL players. I wrote Earl Campbell. I wrote, and I got, so, you know, I was 10 years old or something like that. And I found the Houston Oilers address somewhere. There was no internet. I don't even know how the hell I found it. And wrote a little handwritten note from little Jimmy saying how much I loved Earl Campbell. And sure enough, a couple weeks later, an autographed Earl Campbell photo arrives in the mail. And this blew my mind, right? I guess Earl probably really signed it, right? They probably signed like 1,000 of them, and then the PR department shipped them off. But this was this rattled my world. And so then I wrote, I think Billy White Shoes Johnson for the Atlanta Falcons. I liked the Falcons for a while. I was a bit of a bandwagon jumper until I fell in love with the Niners in the 80s. Yeah. But, this was, like, to me, it blew my mind, and how much it meant to me as a little kid when that thing came in the mail, and you get an autograph photo from somebody. So great on you, Carlo, and great on it, even though it's taken you a while. Great on
them. 10 years.
I don't think it's good on Carlo.
It wasn't by choice, dude. I found this in a box of memorabilia from my St. Louis days.
No, but good on you to do it now. Yeah, it's maybe a little late. But I would say, let me ask you this. Like, how do the Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, whatever, going back, Wayne Gretzky, handle this? Because if you get a fair amount like that, if MJ's still getting mail, the amount that they must get, and I just don't, obviously they must have a person, right? There's got to be, I'm sure you have a session where you sit down and you sign 1,000 photos, and then there's a person that has to sit and mail those out, because I don't know how you could possibly get to everybody. Maybe they don't. I don't know. Somebody, maybe a listener, have you ever gotten and written Sidney Crosby or Wayne Gretzky and gotten something back?
That's a great question. Because I know guys right now, that have developed their own stamps with their autographs.
Oh, really?
So that, yeah. So they
stamps.
I know it sounds stupid.
I would rather
but
not
true.
Get it returned than have a stamp.
Yeah. But no, but the but autograph. These stamps are like real. Like they look real. Like they're like. They,
so you wouldn't know the difference?
No, they're not like the you know when you get a stamp and you actually see like the space between the color of the writing. Mm-hmm. These are actual like stamps that you know. Thin calligraphy, everything. It's done professionally well. Okay. The other thing guys do too, and I think Upper Deck does it, is they send you sheets of stickers, like clear stickers that you could put on the card that would sort of copy the signature onto the card and then you pull the sticker off.
It's just not the same, isn't it?
It's not.
You
it's
feel,
not.
You want to feel, like I would always, if I was a kid today, my wife would argue I am, like, I would, you know, the photo means much more than an autograph. You get a photo with somebody like Carlo Colaiacovo. Oh, I mean, right. That has the moment you were there for. What does an autograph really mean, right? But at least if you knew it was autographed in front of you, you'd know. I guess you'd always be guessing these days if you got something, if whether it was real or not. Because I bet you those stamp things happen a ton. I mean, accountants use them all the time, right, for signatures on documents and everything, so. I have my own one. Yeah, I just sit here and stamp all the millions of autograph requests I get.
No, I believe it. So you're a,
you should
you're
stamp a, all the golf balls you use, James, so that when you lose them, people find it like, oh my God, a James Duffy signed golf ball.
Hey, I got. Did I tell you I got my Jack Nicklaus signed golf ball? Did I tell you the story? Do we have time?
No, one story? Of course. Let's go. We got all the time in the world for you. Let's
okay. Well, one thing. You are not in this business. You don't ask for autographs. It's a major taboo, and I never have in my career. As a journalist broadcaster, you never do that. And like I said, I never cared about autographs anyway. But at the 2005 Open Championship, that was Jack Nicklaus's last major, and I happened to be covering it for TSN. And so I was desperate to get an interview with Nicklaus. So I go into his media availability after, which was in this portable, and when Jack was done, they gave him a standing ovation, and every one of these old, crusty British reporters went up and got him to sign their programs. And I was like, wow, I've never seen this done before. So maybe, you know, there's an exception here. So I waited outside. We kind of staked out a spot, and Jack came out at the end, and I asked if I could do an interview, and he said, if you can walk with me. So we did like a 90-second interview with Jack Nicklaus. And then I remembered I had this golf ball in my pocket that I bought for my newborn son. And I pulled it out and said, Jack, could you sign this ball just as soon as the interview was done? And he said, I don't sign balls, son. And he walked away, and I felt like a moron. But when I interviewed Jack a couple of weeks ago in Ottawa, which I think we talked about, I must have told the story to the organizer, and at the end of the interview, Jack pulled out a signed golf ball for me and made little Jimmy almost cry on stage. What a moment. Aww. What a moment.
Wow.
There you go. So that's the one autograph thing I have in my possession right now is a Jack Nicklaus.
Where is it in your possession? Where do you have it? Do you have it in your glass case?
It's sitting right now on my desk right next to my hole-in-one ball, which I will sign for you, Carlo. I'll sign copies of my hole-in-one ball and hand them out to you guys if you want.
I'm going to have a little word with Hugo over there and make sure that that's the next thing he grabs.
Here's what idiot friends I had. I did have a Tim Raines was my favorite baseball player. So I was 17, probably the last autograph I had as a youth. I went to the Rideau Center in Ottawa and got Tim Raines to autograph my baseball at the height of Tim Raines' career. And then my buddies came over. We had a little party at my house one night, and everybody was, you know, we were 19 by now, legal age. And my buddies, like 20 guys, all signed the same baseball as Tim Raines. That's what kind of jerk friends I had.
Excuse me?
Nice.
I had a Tim Raines autograph signed baseball on my desk. My friends were having beers, and they all thought it would be funny if they all signed it, too.
That's not funny at all. You have some bad friends, Shane.
That's horrible. That's what I grew up with.
Yeah, that's tough.
Did they at least sign it with like other famous baseball player names or their own names?
No, I think their own names.
Yeah, their own names, the idiot. Yeah.
If you see Lester McClain, let him know, JD, that
Jimmy and Carlo and
Aaron. Yeah, I've sent Lester a signature for Elton Ron, and I'm hopeful that he returns that.
Elton Ron.
That's Elton a very Ron, inside hey, joke. Never you mind. Very talented. And Elton John's back now, baby.
Yeah. 20 fingers nodding his head in agreement. He's a big fan of Elton Ron and a big fan of the Rubber Boots podcast. Thanks, JD. We appreciate it.
No problem, boys. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is James Duthie from TSN and the Rubber Roots Podcast. That's on the way to Regina, Saskatchewan. You ever been to Regina, Coco?
Never.
Me neither. I don't see. I would be down to go. It's the it's kind of like the chosen land of CFL fans, I think you could say, in Regina. So, yeah, maybe one day we'll make the pilgrimage to Regina. Coming up next, we have our Raptors reporter, Josh Lewenberg, join us. We'll talk about a real Jekyll and Hyde performance from the Raps. Truly horrendous in the first half. Stuck 12 after the first half. Gave up 71 to Memphis. But, man, was it a tale of two halves for your Toronto Raptors. That's
before we go to break. Maybe not.